So we're going to begin a series today for the next 4 weeks. And it's going to be based on the movie, God's Not Dead 2. How many of you saw it the other night when we showed it? How many of you seen it otherwise? It's in the, you can buy it on DVD now. It's just been released. I think it's on Netflix, different things that you can go. I encourage you, if you've not seen that movie, you need to. Because it is relevant to the times that we're living in today. The things that are happening in that movie, even though it was fictional, the characters are fictional characters, it is relevant to some things that are happening in our country, or in our society today, and it is very, very relevant. Last year, we showed God's Not Dead, great movie too. And it was the story of a college student, a Christian, a young man, that went to a philosophy class. And the first thing that the professor asked them to do was write on a piece of paper and hand it in and sign it, God is dead. God is dead. Well, because he was a Christian, he refused to do that. And the philosophy professor, who was Hercules, Kevin Sorbo. hey, you don't want to fight with Hercules, do you? But he chided him, made fun of him. And he made him defend his faith before the class. And he was going to be the one that, and there was a time or two that he really just made him look bad, that the professor made him look bad. And it drove him back to studying the scripture and learning to defend his faith. And that was a great, great movie. But this movie, instead of being in the classroom, it's in the courtroom. It takes place in the courtroom. And I don't know how many of you noticed that when they were in the courtroom, if you look behind the judge there, there was the Arkansas flag. It took place in Arkansas. It showed the Capitol. So it took place in the Bible Belt. I mean, right in the middle of the Bible Belt. Arkansas is in the Bible Belt. Thank God for the Bible Belt. And so that's where it took place at. But the storyline, for those of you that did not see the movie, there was a teacher who was in class and had a student by the name of Brooke. They were studying about Gandhi and Martin Luther King and the plight that they went through and the discrimination and, you know, the civil rights thing. And this student, this Brooke, whose parents were atheist, who had just lost her brother in an accident, who had died, she was really struggling. She asked her teacher, she says, doesn't that sound like something that Jesus said? She acknowledged that, quoted scripture, and a student in the room texted that to his parents. It got back to the parents of this girl, and they filed suit against this teacher. They took her before the school board. She was suspended, and they were going to go after her teaching certificate so that she could no longer teach. For preaching in a classroom. She did not teach. She just answered a question. And so this whole story takes place around that. This trial that ensues because of this lawsuit against this teacher for mentioning Jesus Christ in her classroom. Great. It's a great movie. And really you think, well, that's kind of fictional. No, it's really not. It's really not. It is very, faith is on trial in America today. We're facing some big issues in the coming years. And we know what the Bible says. The Bible talks about it not getting better, but becoming worse. How that we could be persecuted for our faith, for speaking up for our faith. And so that laws could be made that would prohibit certain things. There are places in North America today that there are certain things that you cannot preach about because it's considered to be hate speech. Things that are clearly in the Bible, that are clearly defined in the Bible about marriage. So it's not far-fetched that this thing could be happening and is happening in America today. Had a young lady before church come up and told me that she's starting a Bible study in her school. And I said, yay God. Thank God. Give her a good hand. Praise God. She's... she's gone to her principal. If she can get a sponsor in a room, kids that want to can come and do a Bible study. I think that's great that we can still do that. But listen. Listen, in the future, those things will be challenged. Those things will be challenged. The amendments that we have in our Constitution that allows freedom of speech and freedom of religion and certain things like that, in the future, they will be challenged. Because that is part of the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world today. You know, the book of Revelation is relevant. It is. I mean, it's really relevant. And we're going to face those issues in the days to come. We live in a society that's in upheaval. We see people that are going through stuff. You know, and the more bad things we see how it affects people. There are people who are in all kinds of dilemmas. You know, really, you think about it, our nation took a turn on 9/11, 2001. From that time, we have seen violence become more prevalent. Who would think that people would take a gun and go in a theater and just shoot people? People that would go in churches and take a gun and shoot people. To me, it's almost an unthinkable thing that we would have to have an active shooter training in our church in Batesville, Arkansas. But we did. We're in the process of putting together a security team because you know what? We want you protected. We want these children protected because we live in a violent society. If terrorism and violence had an anniversary, it's 9/11. Things changed. We talk about ground zero, and that's where the attack took place on the Twin Towers, and, you know, they built monuments there, and people go there, and they visit Ground Zero. But I want to tell you something. There are people in this world today that have a Ground Zero going on in their lives because they are in pain, they are in distress, and they're suffering. And they're at a Ground Zero. And, you know, even though things look negative and things look bad, let me tell you something. There is hope for this world. There is hope for this world. God is up to something in that He has raised up the church. The church, the local church, is the hope of the world. We are the hope of the world. I don't know if I clap about that or not yet. It's easy to talk about, but I'm talking about engaging the world. When we speak up and talk about our faith and are able to defend our faith and make a stand for our faith, like this teacher did in the movie, and she found herself in trouble because of her faith. This movie was a direct attack upon Christianity. But let me tell you, we have a defender of Christianity. We have a defender of our faith that's higher than any human being, and it's the Lord God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And He is, listen, even in this movie, we could see the hand of God as He began to direct people towards circumstances and situations in life that brought solutions to people. And that's what God is after today. He's after people that He can use to intervene in circumstances and situations of life that can make a difference in people who are at their ground zero. I want to read today in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Listen, I like this. Always be prepared. Everybody say prepared.
Prepared.
Look at your neighbor and say prepared.
Prepared.
To give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope. Even though the world looks negative, are we without hope? No, we have hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I like that. Gentleness and respect. We need to engage our culture. We need to engage our society. We need to be gentle and we need to be respectful of all people. I hate it when I look online and I see Christians that are anything but Christ-like where these things are concerned. They're mean, they're vindictive, they're malicious. We have not been called to be any of those things. We have been called to be gentle and respectful to all people. You can disagree without being a horse's matute. I said that in church, didn't I? Well, I didn't say the other word, the A word. No, we're supposed to be respectful and gentle, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. See, they're going to come at you. They're going to come at you in a malicious way. That doesn't mean that you can turn around and be malicious to them. In fact, one of the greatest weapons that you have as Christian is love. Being respectful and being gentle in the way that you deal with people. You know, usually when people attack is when they have the least to say. That's true. When the emotion becomes involved, they're having a hard time defending their position. So they make it personal. They make a personal attack on the person that is raising the questions. You got to learn how to deflect. You got to learn how to deal with people. Just learn how to ask questions. Be nice and smile and ask questions. They'll tie themselves in knots. And then they'll get ugly. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You know, when you respond the way that they respond, you're no better than they are. If they're hateful and you're hateful, you've lowered yourself to their level. No, we need to learn how to be gentle and respectful, even with those that we disagree with. So, let's talk about some things here. We know that that we exist as a church to help people find a meaningful, lasting relationship with God. That's why we exist. We don't exist so that we can come on Sunday morning and just worship and go home and forget about God and forget about church until the next time we come. That's not, and thank God that we can come and we can worship and we can lift our hands. And, you know, our motto here, our slogan here is what? Reach up. That's worship. That's being connected with God. You'll never do anybody any good until you're connected with God. Reach in. Why do we do that? Because we need each other. We need the fellowship. We need the encouragement. We need the teaching. We need to be discipled. But the third one is the one that people struggle with the most. It's called reach out. See, you have opportunities that I don't have. I have opportunities that you don't have. I see people that you'll never see. You see people I'll never see. God brings people into your life for certain purposes. And that is to reach them, to be a salt and light, to be a shining beacon light to them in this world. You have that opportunity. It doesn't have to be through a church program. Thank God for church programs. We got plenty of them around here. You know, we believe in reaching in. We believe in reaching our children, don't we? We do. We spend tons of money around here reaching our children and our youth. We added on a few years ago about a $350,000 addition at the back of the church. The church used to end right there at that wall. Everything behind there is an addition. $350,000. Why? So our youth could come together and have a place that they could meet and fellowship and learn and grow in the things of Christ. We're fixing to launch the Awana ministry. We've got children's church. We've got Trail Life. There's other things. We pour tons of money. And you know what? None of that pays for itself. From an economic standpoint, that don't make sense. But it's not about economics. It's about knowing that we have to pass the faith on to the next generation. How do we pay for that? And them buckets right there down these aisles. That's how we pay for it. Children's ministry does not pay for itself. Youth ministry does not pay for itself. Celebrate Recovery does not pay for itself. We do that through the Sunday morning giving. That's how we do it. It's important to us, and it's something that we're committed to, and we're going to do. We're seeing people saved on Friday nights. We had 226 people here Friday night. Three salvations. And we got people in our church who are in recovery right now and serving Christ that have gone through John 3:16, John 3:17, other ministries, and they're connected with Celebrate Recovery. And you know what? People are important. It's not about economics. It's about people. And that's what the church has to be about. So we exist as a church to help people find meaningful, lasting relationships with God. And to do this, we have to be willing to answer the questions that they are asking. You know, a lot of times they ask questions about things that happen in their life. There's people out there that are hurting today. In Louisiana, they're hurting today. There are people who are going through divorce. There are people who financially have crashed and are burning right now. There are people who have lost loved ones and they're hurting right now. And they're searching and they're reaching out and they're reaching up and they're asking, why? Facebook don't have those answers. Oh, you get on there and read, dude. There's some bad advice goes on there. Who is it that needs to have those answers? It's us. It said we need to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. We need to be able to defend what we believe. You need to know why you believe what you believe in order to be the church that God has called us to be. Can you say amen? You know, as believers, our faith tells us that God is the source of life and hope. Life and hope. We see a lot of evil in our world today. And in many ways, it looks like evil is winning. But can I just tell you right now, evil will not have the last word. I said, evil will not have the last word. Jesus Christ will have the last word. He is, I know we got an election coming up. There's not a dog in that hunt that's going to give us hope. We'll talk about that later. My goodness. I heard the news say the other day, not in the in the history of presidential elections have there been two more unpopular presidential candidates than what we have right now? That's sad. But can I just tell you, they're not the hope. God is our hope. God is our solution. Jesus will straighten it out, and he's going to, yeah, he will. Evil will not have the last word. So ground zero, in a way, is the place of the greatest pain in our lives. It can either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. When pain comes, and when pain comes in other people's lives, they will either turn to God or they'll turn away from God. If the world has its way, it will turn them away from God. But listen, you and I, as believers, need to have some answers to some questions in order to turn them toward God. See, our natural inclination is not to go towards God, it's to go away from God. And we tell you all the time, when you have a problem, when something bad happens in your life, the best thing that you can do is turn and run to God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? You may not understand, you may not be able to figure it out, but listen, the solution is not away from God, it's in seeking God. And that's what we have to do where people that we're trying to minister to is coming to, because listen, some of them are at ground zero. They are without hope. And this is where our gospel comes in, because, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, that it is the gospel of hope. So there is the search for answers. You know, things happen in our world. You know, our world gets smaller and smaller. Something could happen in the Middle East and we almost see it live on TV. Isn't that true? Something could happen across the United States and there are reporters there within minutes. Sometimes they get there faster than the police do. There are things that happen in our community and it's on Facebook fast, especially if it's bad. Have you noticed that? Our world is smaller and smaller, and we become more and more aware of things that people are dealing with and things that are happening in our world that are not good. And people are asking questions, and they're looking for solutions. And too many times, they think God is the problem. I like Luke 4:18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And then he said, "And recovery of sight for the blind, and then to set the oppressed or the hurting free." He comes to set the hurting free. You know, it doesn't really matter, because there's a lot of reasons that people have problems. Can I just tell you? Most of them are self-inflicted. They are. But not all of them. We have an enemy arrayed against us. John 10:10 says, "For the thief comes not, but for to what? Steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." You know what the devil likes to do? He likes to do something in your life and then whisper in your ear and says, "God don't love you because you messed up." No, God's not your problem. He's your solution. Jesus came. The Spirit was on him to set people free and to set free the oppressed or those who are hurting. And it don't matter the reason that they're hurting, whether it's the enemy, whether it's self-inflicted, or if it comes from just being in a fallen world, God is willing to minister his love and freedom to every man. That's our message, guys. That's our message. God is for us. He's not against us. Remember, don't run from God when you're in trouble. Run to Him. Run to Him. So people are searching. And one of our highest callings is to help people. One of our highest callings is helping other people. I love when we do outreach. We reach out in this church. Friday night is an outreach. We reach more people on Friday night. You know, our CR is bigger than most churches. I'm bragging, aren't I? No, I'm really not. But there's a huge need out there. And not all of them are drug addicts and alcoholics. There are people who have been abused through relationships. There's codependency. There are people who run from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. And they're not finding peace and they're not finding fulfillment. And they're searching. And you know what? They come there and they have a message of hope that is given to them because there's somebody there that's able to reach out to them and give them hope. People are responding. Praise God. Praise God. People are responding to the gospel. Why? Because it's the only hope that we have. So our high calling is to what? Is to help other people. Not just as a church, but in your day-by-day life. Your high calling is to help, but don't wait to be asked. The Holy Spirit's asking. The Holy Spirit is bringing opportunities before you where you can help others. See, how can we say that we love God when we hate our neighbor? How can we say that we love God when we hate people who are different skin color or culture than what we are? You know what? I wish our church was blacker. I do. We need some soul in this church. I'm telling you what, we need some soul. I wish our church was more Hispanic than what it is. I do. Now, where'd I go with that? But how can we say that we love God when we hate other races? When we hate other people? God may be black. God may be black. God may be Hispanic. We picture Jesus as a white man. He was not. He was not. He was olive skin. Okay. Let me get off of that. We have no place for prejudice. We can't say that the love of God is in us when we have that in our lives. If I see a man in need, and I shut up my bowels in compassion, and I say, be warm, be blessed, be filled, and don't share, how can I say that the love of God is in me? How can we see the plight of our people in Louisiana and not respond, Paige? How can we not respond to that? But it's so easy to do nothing. Oh, I'm going to pray for them. Sometimes we do need to pray for them, okay? But sometimes we need to do something. Sometimes we need to get the little folding thing out and put some money in. Sometimes we need to donate stuff. Sometimes we need to give time. Sometimes we need to give effort in order to do that. This is how we demonstrate the love of God. Amen. Okay. Say this with me. I still love Brother David. Okay. I'm just reestablishing that. Okay. Thank you. I love you too. In the movie, we see something happening. We see a young man by the name of Martin. Is that his name? Martin. He's Asian. Different background, different religion. He's in college. He's exposed to the gospel. He has questions. Yeah. So he goes to a pastor and says, "My friend said that I could come to you. I have some questions about God." He says, "Okay, how many do you have?" He says, 143. So this pastor sits down with Martin and answers his questions and continues to meet with him, answering his questions, and Martin comes to faith in Christ. Now, this is going to show you how God is at work in helping us to help others, because God works behind the scenes many times to maneuver people to bring them together at the perfect time so that they can help other people. God didn't save you so that you could sit. God saved you because He wants to use you to save somebody else. You have a story. Every one of us has a story that we can tell. You don't have to be able to preach, but listen, every one of us can tell our story. We can tell our story. And our story is powerful. You know why your story is powerful? Because it's yours. And it's personal. And God can use that story to reach people who have a similar story to yours, but that are still broken. So Martin comes to faith. His father hears about his conversion and comes to college to confront his son. His son reaffirms his faith. His father slaps him. He tells him to come home and he says, "Father, I cannot." He says, "Give up this nonsense that you're following." He says, "I will not." His father turns around, disowns him, and leaves. He is going to have an encounter right after this with Brooke. Brooke is the one who asked the question in the classroom. Brooke's brother had died. The parents were atheists. Brooke was an atheist. But she was searching because she was grieving. See, when people hurt, they're the most open to ministry. Most of us came to Christ out of a problem. Most of us came to Christ because of some kind of shipwreck in our life. We all had a ground zero. I did. I had a very painful situation in my life that helped turn me to Christ. A lot of it was my own doing. But nonetheless, God reached out to me and I accepted Him, and His grace was sufficient to save me. But we all have that story. The parents decided to give his stuff away, so they gave it to Salvation Army. So Brooke is there when they come to get her brother's belongings. The parents have moved on. They're atheists. They believe that when you die, that's it. So there was no hope. There was no future. They'd moved on, but she could not move on. She loved her brother. As they're cleaning out his stuff, one of the workers comes and says, "We've got everything, but this we want you to have." And she handed her brother's Bible. Her brother had been seeking and found Christ, and they gave her the Bible. She began to read the Bible. That's what inspired her to ask the question in the classroom that caused the problem. She is in a spiritual search. I want you to see her in the movie coming to faith in Christ. Let's watch this.
She's had so many notes written in the margins that for the first time I felt like I was truly getting to know my brother. Like, God gave me the extra 5 minutes that I so desperately needed with him. I just don't understand why he never told me about his faith.
Sharing one's faith with family, especially not knowing how they will react, can be difficult.
Count our struggles as blessings, right?
That is exactly right. There are more than 5 minutes awaiting you and your brother. John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
I do.
Then invite him into your heart. And make him the Lord of your life.
Dear Lord, I'm not quite sure what to say, but thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sin. Jesus, please come into my life, and I will follow you as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Martin just happened to be at the church, reeling from his own pain of rejection from his father. And she just happened to walk in. Not a big event. But he was able to share a small thing that made the difference in her life. You know, a lot of times we're looking for big things to do for God. But many times it's the small things that we do that'll make the biggest difference. Are you listening to me? She did not have hope, but he gave her hope. This is the last point, that the gospel brings hope. The gospel brings hope. See, it doesn't matter where people are. Their ground zero. There was a greater ground zero than 9/11 2001. It happened in AD 33 in Jerusalem. I want to read this to you as we get ready to close. It's found in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4 through 6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Calvary looked like a total failure. It did. From the natural standpoint, it looked like a total failure. But listen, It was the greatest victory for mankind. It was ground zero. And it was the reverse of what happened in 2001. It was the crushing of Satan's authority in the earth. Jesus paid the price. He is our hope. Amen? He's our hope. That's your message, that Jesus is our hope. But here again, it's your story and how He brought hope into your life in little ways that God can take and use to change another person's life. I challenge you, church, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies in you. Amen. Let's pray. Prayer team, would you come? I know I went over, but I don't care today. You may be at a ground zero right now. You may be hurting. You may be spiritually bankrupt, physically bankrupt. You may be going through some kind of crisis in your life. I don't know. I don't have to name a bunch of crises. You know where you are. And you need hope. You know, it begins with having a relationship with God. And if you're here today and don't have a relationship with God, then you can find that today. That's the initial reach up, connecting to God. We call it being born again, being saved. But maybe there's other things going in your life that you need prayer about. We're open right here for people to pray with you. You can pray at your seat, whichever you're comfortable with doing. I want us to stand. Lord, touch our hearts today. Open our hearts to your word and your spirit. Draw people to you, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Would you come? Let's worship.
To just show that respect and that gentleness when people come in our life. And they might not be where we want them to be, but they are where they are. Sometimes we need to realize that not everybody's where we think they should be in life. Love them anyway. How are they ever going to hear that story of grace if we don't love them where they're at? He loved me where I was at. Is bringing me to where I need to be. So we need to remember that sometimes. I think we have an announcement this morning. Miss Christy Busby has something she wants to share with us this morning. These people have put out a lot of effort for this. I'm excited to see what God is going to do.
Thank you, Jason. First of all, truck that they've donated to us. It has two levels, and so all of the boxes that are full that we need to go through are on the second level with the incline that's really, really, really steep, and it was a hard work for some of the guys loading some of these boxes, so hopefully most of you men will come out and help us do that, because I don't think I can do it. I'm not very big, and those boxes are heavy, and the dolly was really heavy, but it was just really awesome to see the whole community come out, the businesses that came and donated and sponsored meals, and just all the supplies that we got. It's just really an awesome thing to see the whole community come together, and just proud to be from Batesville and see the hearts of everybody who were able to give. Thank you.
So They need some help. Tomorrow night from 6 to 9. So you've done got off work. Go home, get you a sandwich. And come on down from 6 to 9 at the old Stanley Wood building. And there's more still to be done. So let's make this happen. So far, like she said, people have been wonderful about giving. They've given so much that the ladies can't handle it by themselves. So that's an awesome opportunity. You know, I can't go to Louisiana this trip. I can't do this. But I can go down there tomorrow night and help sort through these boxes, because we can still sow into this project. So tomorrow night, 6 to 9 at the old Stanley Wood. Today, if it's your first time with us, you are our guest. You are our VIP. I want to encourage you to fill out this connection card. Outside under the drive-thru, we've got a guest for you, somebody to make a connection with you and welcome you to the family. Just let you know that we love you. We appreciate you being a part of this worship experience. You are dismissed.